Our scripture reading today is from 1 Kings 8:56 in the Pew Bible. It's page 311. And blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promises, which he promised through his servant Moses. Amen.
As you may have noticed in our bulletin, we have seen up front here, we have a guest speaker today, Pastor Oswaldo Magana, is that right? And his wife, Erlinda. So we're just very happy to have them here. Pastor Oswaldo is head of clergy care in our conference here in Ohio.
We are so happy to be here this morning together with my wife. It's always a blessing. We are getting to know the different churches in the Ohio Conference. You know, we have approximately 90 congregations. And I've been impressive, huh? And we're still growing. And I've been in my post, in my responsibility from October. And I've had other things to do. And every Sabbath, whenever I have the opportunity, I try to be in a different church because I'm trying to get acquainted with the different church members in the different congregations. And I'm so thankful for the invitation I have received from Pastor Mike to be here today. I was a couple of months ago, maybe 3 months ago, at Reynoldsburg. And now I have the opportunity to be here. And it's wonderful that we can be out and worshiping together with each one of our members all around the Ohio Conference. Y quiero decir algo en español. Hermano Fidel, entiendo que usted es el único que habla español aquí. Okay. He's the only one that speaks heaven's language. Que no sé inglés, pero usted no entendió lo que yo les dije. Usted es el único que habla el idioma del cielo. Sí, okay. All right. He did like that one, eh? Okay. Usted habla español también, okay. All right, poquito. Okay, hermano Fidel, bendiciones. Entiendo que usted es del Salvador. Okay. Del Salvador allá y del Salvador de allá. Okay. He is from El Salvador and he belongs to El Salvador. You know what Salvador means? Savior. So he belongs to the Savior twice. Because he comes from El Salvador, which means Savior, and he now belongs to the Savior that is in heaven. Okay, so it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Why don't we bow our heads to have a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, it's so wonderful, it's so good that we can take time to open your word. May you guide us as we enter into it today. May it be a blessing and inspiration for each one of us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Why don't we go back again to our scripture reading? 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 56. Okay, I was told I have approximately until noon. So I have about what? 17 minutes? Let's see what we can do. I do not promise. I will be able to finish in 17 minutes. Half an hour? Okay, they're giving me half an hour. Be careful. Don't give me too much. Don't give me too much time. Don't look at the clock. Are you sure? You know what you're getting into? It's a Sabbath. Okay. Okay, don't worry. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 56. Chapter 8 and verse 56. Praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel just as he promised. As his people Israel just as he promised. No one word has failed of all the good promises. This is wonderful, you know. No one word has failed of all the good promises. You know that the scriptures is filled with promises. Apparently, someone took time to search the scriptures and to try to find how many promises there are in the Bible. I haven't done it. So I'm trusting in what somebody else, I don't know if he really found it out or it's said. But it's believed that in the Bible, we have approximately 32,000 promises. Okay? Approximately 32,000 promises. I'm not sure, but I know there are many promises in the Bible. And wonderful promises in the Bible. And whenever God placed a promise in the Bible, He did leave them there for us. Okay? He did leave them there for us. And He did leave them for our benefit. And He did leave them there to give us hope. Because I believe that every promise does give us hope. Yes or no? There is hope for something better in the Word of God. Today, we won't have time to look over the 32,000 promises. But I would want to concentrate in reviewing 5 promises with you. Okay? I want to take time to review 5 promises with you that are in the scriptures. And as a base, we're going to take the children of Israel and Moses. So let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And we're going to read, beginning in verse 12, Moses pleading to God. And Moses wanting to have the assurance that as he continued leading the children of Israel, he wanted to have the assurance that God was always going to be with them. Okay? He wanted God to be with them. He didn't want to lead the children of Israel by himself. He needed guidance. And it's so wonderful, whenever Moses knew he needed guidance, he knew where to go for that guidance. Okay, so let's read beginning in verse 12. It says, Moses said to the Lord, You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways. That's Moses having that conversation with God. So I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. Let's go to verse 15 now. I'm doing it intentionally. 15. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Let's go back to 14. The Lord replied. What did he reply? My presence will go with you. And I will give you rest. My presence will go with you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? And you know something? That promise that the Lord gave to Moses whenever he was leading the children of Israel, it's exactly the same promise that the Lord has for his church today. As a church, God's church is always being led by God. His presence is always with his church. But if we move down a little and make it even a little smaller, I would like to stress and to say, God's presence is not only with his church, God's presence is with you and with me. Individually, wherever I am, wherever I go, whatever I do, I can count with God's presence in my life. And you know something? There isn't anything more wonderful to have the assurance that God is with us. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43 and verse 2. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. The promise of his presence. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, because I am with you. That's what he said at the beginning of the verse. The Lord is always by our side. His presence is always with us at all times. And under any circumstance, God is with his children. And let me say something. Even when you see things not working your way, he's still with you. Even when you see things going the opposite direction, he is still with you. Even if though at this moment you cannot see it clear, he is with you. For this probably we need to permit him to work in our lives so that our faith in him could increase. That even though we are not able to see, we could have the assurance that he is there for us. And I have a question for you now. Do you have the assurance of his presence in your life today? Have you seen him doing things for you in your life? You know, sometimes things tend to get delicate. Sometimes you tend to get frustrated because things are not working out your way. And you tend to look at the Lord and say, "Where are you, Lord?" I just want to give you the assurance, the Lord is there. His presence is there. He will not leave you, and he will not abandon you. But besides promising his presence in your life, he also promises to give you peace. He promises to give you peace. You know, the Lord has never said to anybody, "You will not have problems." Okay? He has never said, "Because you love me, because you follow me, you will not have problems." Right? The Lord has never promised that we will not have problems. What he has promised is that his presence will be with us in between the problems to give us peace. Correct. So the reason why he has promised his presence is because together with his presence, he also promises to give us peace whenever the problems come. And that's the reason why Moses was at peace when he had to go and face Pharaoh to let the children of God out of Egypt. Moses was not frustrated, really. He knew that he was being guided and he was led by God. So when Pharaoh said, yes, God's children go. And when he went away, and then Pharaoh sends a message and says, no, they will no longer go. I imagine Moses just scratches his head a little and says, Lord, and now what? He still trusted that God had a way out. Even though things did not seem clear, he knew that God had the best for him and for his children. We will look at several verses today. So just keep your Bibles in your hands, and I might not take too long to wait for you. So if you think you're not too fast, just let me read some of those verses. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. And it says, you will keep in perfect peace in whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. The Lord will keep in peace those that trust in him, those that are steadfast, those that are of a firm character. God will keep them in peace. John chapter 14 and verse 27. John chapter 14. And verse 27. The word of God says here in verse 27, peace I leave unto you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Why? Because my peace I have given you, the Lord says. Maybe I should take time to illustrate something here. In the month of February, my dad passed away. I received a message that he was in a very critical condition, so I had to find a plane ticket to fly over my home. By the way, I'm from Belize. Okay? The best and most beautiful country in the world. Belize. Okay? If you don't believe it, it's because you do not know it. Okay, I'm kidding. I had to fly. When I arrived, I was rushed directly to the hospital. He was in ICU. He was not able to recognize me. My mom was there. My brothers were there. I arrived together with my sister. She traveled from Costa Rica, and I traveled from here, and we met at the airport in Belize, and we went directly to the hospital. What a scene when I saw my dad. We knew he had been suffering a lot. We knew he had gone through a lot of problems and a lot of difficulties. But you know something? For some reason that I still didn't understand then, I felt peace in my heart. And I was looking at his condition. Then my mom said, aren't you all tired? Do you all want to go home? I said, okay, I'll go home just to change. what I need to be back. I remember going back home, I did change, and my sister said, I will come back with you. And we were there. About 2 hours after we came back, my dad passed away. He had been a servant of the Lord. My dad didn't have no type of education. My dad only went to third grade elementary school. But for many years, he was a church elder. He did many evangelistic crusades. I learned to give Bible studies because I was taught by my father. Many people knew about the love of Christ because of my father. And there we were. And he was gone. But there was peace in my heart. How? I do not know. But on Monday, that was a Saturday night, on Monday, I had the opportunity to preach the sermon at church. The funeral, I was the one that led the funeral service. And I preached the last sermon in front of a huge multitude that knew him. And God gave me the peace and the serenity to be able to do it. And to be a blessing for many who were there that did not yet know about the love of Christ. What am I trying to say with this? When you are with the Lord promises to give us what? Peace. In the moment and in the time when it's most needed, you will have peace from on high. A peace that can only be given by our Lord. I have seen on the other side funerals of individuals that do not love Christ. And their families not knowing Christ. What a difference in those funerals. Lamentations. People crying. People screaming because there is no hope. Because the only one that gives hope and gives peace is God. So even if you are going through problems and difficulties, the Lord is giving you the assurance of peace because of what the Lord does in your life. Trust in God. Trust in Jesus Christ. Make Jesus your best friend. Walk in His footsteps and you will always have peace in your heart. But besides promising His presence, besides promising peace, He also promises to give you power. Power from on high. Not the power that man is used to. It's a different type of power. For instance, the Lord manifested His power during 40 long years towards the Israelites. He was with them. You remember that they went through so many difficulties and problems while on the desert? They had so many enemies. They had to battle. They had to struggle. And when they were with God, they were always overcomers. There was no hidden nation that was able to overcome them. They were more powerful than those nations because God is power. And when you are with God, you will be an overcomer also. We have the power of God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Just listen to this verse. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. The one that is in you. Who is in the one that is in with you? It's Jesus Christ. So we are overcomers. We are powerful, not of our own. We are powerful because God makes us powerful through Jesus Christ. And we are overcomers constantly, permanently, and always. When Jesus is in me, who could be against me? Huh? When Jesus is with me, who could be against me? No one. Do you remember that night after the disciples had passed that big struggle in the sea and Jesus was fast asleep, you remember? And he was waken up by the disciples. And when he was waken up, Jesus said, "But what is your problem?" And he stood with all the calmness of the world and he spoke to the winds, he spoke to the waves, and they just all vanished away. But that's not what I want to tell you. As soon as they finished that and they landed on the seashore and they came out from the boats and they went into a place to rest, who did they meet there? The demoniacs. And what happened when the disciples saw the demoniacs? Man, they were so scared. They turned around and they fled. And when they looked around, they didn't see their master. They didn't see Jesus. And Jesus was all there, tranquil, in front of the demoniac. And this is what I want to mention now. Was his power manifested? It was manifested. And who was in that individual? It was Satan. It was the devil. Who is the greatest opponent of Christ? It's the devil. And what happened when the two of them met? Jesus was the overcomer. Jesus won. So when Jesus is with you, you will be powerful. Jesus will give you power to overcome temptations. So what happens whenever we fall? What happens whenever we are thrown down by the devil? Probably we need a little more of Christ in our lives. Because if Christ would be with you, if Christ would be with me, we would always be overcomers. But you know something? Besides giving me of his presence, besides giving me peace, besides giving me power, he also promises something else. He promises to always provide for us. He is our provider. He has promised to provide for each and every one of us. Just let us think for a little while. Let us go back again and let us think in the children of Israel. You know that in the wilderness, there were approximately 3 million people in the wilderness. You know what it means to live in a wilderness? What do you find in a wilderness? Apples, grapes, food. What do you find in a wilderness? Sand and snakes, rocks, scorpions, spiders. 90% of the world's medication comes from the jungles of the weeds. Oh, interesting. But interesting, from the wilderness, we do not get anything basically to sustain ourselves. But there, once again, the children of Israel were in the desert for 40 years. Did God sustain them during those 40 years? Their water was always there. You remember occasions when God made miracles to give them water? You remember when God, after a while, said, okay, you will need me to provide your food every day. And he sent what? The manna. For approximately 40 years, the manna fell and they had enough to eat. His presence was there during the day. It was like a big cloud. And during the night, like fire. Telling the children of Israel, I am with you and I will continue being your provider. But you know something? My beloved, he even did a bigger miracle for them. Besides giving them the food, besides giving them water, let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29 and verse 5. I don't know how many of you have read this verse before. I know many have. But for those who have never seen this verse before, I want to introduce it to you now. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 5. Are we ready? It says, during the 40 years that I led you through the desert, listen to this, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet. Did you get that one? During the 40 years that you were in the desert, your clothes did not what? Wear out. Nor your what? Nor your sandals wear out. Okay. It could be few. It could be few. But let me ask. Does anybody here have a pair of shoes for 40 years? A pair of shoes for 40 years. Do you have any? Any of you have a pair of shoes that you've used constantly for 40 years? Could you imagine the children of Israel wearing the same pair of sandals in a desert? Okay, in a desert, rocks and sand, and those sandals not getting worn out. 40 years. Wasn't it a miracle of God? Wasn't it God saying, I am sustaining you because you don't have a way of sustaining yourself? Could you imagine them using in the desert where it was totally hot, the same clothes for 40 years and it did not rot? What do we learn from here? God is our what?
Provider.
In times of need, let us continue putting our trust in God. Let us permit Christ to guide and to lead our lives, and He will sustain us. What is your greatest need? I do not know, because everybody have different needs. Yes or no? But no matter what your need is, go to the Lord. Give Him your heart. Give Him your entire life, and He will provide and supply your needs. He has given that promise. He did it in the past. And the God of the children of Israel is your God today. It is the same God, the all-powerful God. So He gave them, and He gave us His presence. He gave them, and He gives us peace. He gave them power, and He gives us power. He made provision for them, and He continues providing for us today. But there's another promise, and that's what the promise with which I'm going to end now. He promises that no matter how your past life has been, no matter what you have done in the past, no matter if you have lived strayed away, no matter if you have not been faithful to your family, No matter if you have not been faithful to your kids, no matter if you have done the worst things that you can believe about that could be done under the sun, I give you the assurance, you have a God that has promised to forgive your past sins. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. You know that verse very good. What does it say? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. What does it say? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Amen, brethren. I think this is one of the biggest promises, because whenever our sins are forgiven, we are safe. For the wages of sin is what? Is death. The wages of sin is death. But if the Lord takes my sins and He forgives my sins and He washes my sins and I am cleansed from my sins, will I die? No. I have hope of eternal life. There's a difference. I have a hope to be able to say, whenever I see Jesus coming for the second time, behold, this is my God. Behold, this is my Savior. I've waited for Him and He will save me because He has forgiven my sins. Isn't that wonderful, brethren? That is marvelous. And that's the promise that the Lord has for each and every one of us today. The forgiveness of our sins. To enter into a relationship of love with the Savior of this world. To become a friend of the one who died and gave His life for us on Calvary's cross. That is Jesus Christ. And today that Christ is offering the forgiveness of your sins. Let us go to Him. Let us come to the Lord, because He has salvation as a reality for you. He is the only one that can not only offer it, but He is the only one that can give it to you. So today, you have the assurance of His presence in your life always. You have the assurance that He will give you peace always. You have the assurance that He will give you power to be an overcomer. You have the assurance that He is always going to provide for you. And you have the assurance that your sins are forgiven because Christ died on Calvary's cross for you. And if your sins are forgiven, you are saved by the grace of God. How many today would like to say, Lord, please come to my life. Stay and be with me constantly and permanently. Who wants to be the first one that would like to say, yes, I want Jesus to take control of my life? I see some hands. I want to pray with you all this morning. Do you all want to pray with me? Do you all want to stand and pray together with me as a manifestation that you want Jesus to take the control of your life? That's the only way that we can have assurance and we can have security as we continue struggling through this life of woe and misery. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's so good. It's so wonderful to have the assurance that You are our God. That You have done wonderful and great things for us. Thank You, God, because Your presence is with us. Thank You, God, because Your peace is with us. Thank You, God, because You provide for us. Thank You, God, because You give us power to be overcomers. But thank you, God, for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you, God, for the precious blood of Jesus shed on Calvary's cross. That's the only reason why there is hope for us today. May you come to our lives. May you come to our hearts. May we be born again by your grace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.